Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words to speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Two Irishmen landed in New York. They had never been really anywhere outside their own village, and so they, when they came to New York, they decided to take a train trip. When they got on the train, they were approached by a young boy who was selling fruit. And they recognized a couple of the pieces of fruit. They recognized oranges and apples, but he had a piece of fruit they didn't recognize. And one of the guys pointed and said, what is that? And the boy said, well, that's a banana. And the man said, well, how do you eat a banana? And so the boy began to peel the banana and show him how to eat it. And so he and his friend bought one. And so as one of the Irishmen were peeling the banana and starting to eat it, the train went into a tunnel and everything went black. And so he said to his friend, Pat, whatever you do, don't eat this darn thing. I've eaten it, I've gone blind. Well, we see a lot in our country. We see a lot of violence, drug abuse, abortions, teenage suicides, sexually transmitted diseases. We see our liberties being threatened and taken away from us. We see fear controlling so many. We see freedom of speech is no longer free. All these things seem to be increasing. And we tend to put the blame on different things. Maybe we blame guns, or we blame drugs, or doctors, or the media, or politicians, or the government, and so on. But in reality, what is happening is we're looking at the symptoms of the problem, and not the root of the problem itself. I remember back in the 1990s, I went with our youth group to a Christian concert, and it was put on by a man by the name of Carmen. And in the middle of his concert, after one of his songs, he stopped and he said that during the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, the statistics for violent crime, drug abuse, teenage suicides, and child abuse remained about the same. Then in 1962, they began to skyrocket. He said, violent crime has gone up 440% since 1962, drug abuse over 400%, teenage suicides over 800%, and child abuse over 1,000%. Now, I did some research on his claims, and some of the reporting organizations actually were saying those numbers were a bit on the low side. These statistics really are shocking. And so what happened in 1962 that began this sharp increase in all these statistics? Well, he said, some of you may remember the name Madeline Murray O'Hare. And Madeline Murray O'Hare, he said, was singularly responsible for taking prayer out of public schools. And then in 1963, he said, the Ten Commandments were removed from the schools. He said, is this just a coincidence, or is there some correlation between this sharp upturn of all these categories and the removal of prayer and commandments from the classroom? Now, actually, I think what really happened is that the removal of these two things, prayer and commandments, were merely symptomatic of a bigger problem, and that is the removal of God from the public life. And Graham Lotz, the daughter of Billy Graham, said this one time. She said, quote, I believe God is deeply saddened by all the evil things going on today, just as we are. But for years we've been telling God to get out of our schools, get out of our government, and to get out of our lives. And being a gentleman he is, I believe he has calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and his protection if we demand that he leave us alone? End quote. I believe the root of the problem that is facing our nation is that we've lost sight of the fact of the God who is near to us, who has been so near to us in the past. We've neglected his statutes and ordinances. In our effort to be tolerant, we are no longer recognizing sin as sin. We have abandoned the principles upon which this great nation was founded. We've forgotten that our national song reflects our reliance upon God, that our coins declare our trust in God, and that our pledge of allegiance is a testimony to God's importance in this nation's life. Noah Webster, founding father and founding educator, said this, quote, the moral principles and precepts of all our civil constitution and laws, all the miseries and evils which men suffer from, vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war, proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts of the Bible. End quote. In 1962, the Supreme Court changed the definition of church No longer would the word church refer to a Christian denomination. Instead, church would now mean any religious activity. Therefore, the separation of church and state suddenly meant the complete separation of any religious activity from public affairs. Many people have become disillusioned in trying to change things through the electoral process, seeing that there has been so many shady things happening in elections in recent past. We've seen too many politicians who have claimed to want to bring God back into the mix, only to sell out to the political game. Some brave congressperson might introduce something that is beneficial for the people, only to have the opposition party resist it or the Supreme Court overturn it. So the question is there any hope for us? Is there any hope for this country? And I think the only hope that we have is God. Only God can change the hearts of people. See, we're not fighting against politicians or governments. Turn, if you will, in our bulletins to page 5 and find Paul's writing to the Ephesians. And he says this in verse 10. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Now, I could just stop right there and say that if we just did that, things would be a lot better. He said, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes." Now listen to this. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul's saying here that there are spiritual forces behind all of the evil in this world. There are spiritual forces behind evil, the evil that is done by politicians. There are spiritual forces done by the evil done by governments. There are spiritual forces done by the evil of unelected bureaucrats. All of these are spiritual forces working behind the scenes. So what is our response to be? Paul says this in verse 18. "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." In other words, pray for all those involved in any kind of evil, that they may come to know Christ. And having come to know him, their lives will be truly transformed, and then ultimately will affect their behavior as well. Again, Ann Lott said this, "I don't think the solution is primarily political or social or racial or economical or military or some of these other things. I believe the solution will be found on our knees before God." In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul echoes this when he says, "I urge then, first of all, whatever else you do, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that they may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." So as we pray for our country, as we pray for individuals, as we pray for our governments, our politicians, are we praying that they would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? In our gospel lesson today, Jesus said, "Evil, godless actions proceed out of the heart of those who have not been transformed by the Holy Spirit." As we introduce others to Jesus, and as other Christians introduce other people to Jesus, then that's the first step in seeing our nation come back to God. Then us praying for them that they would take their new Christian conviction and stand strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's hard to imagine, but what if enough Christians prayed regularly for this change to happen, resulting in people around the world saying what Moses said the pagans would say about the children of Israel? "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near to them the way the Lord our God is near to us whenever we pray?" Let us pray. Lord, we have to admit that so often we hear all the news going on around us and we wonder, what in the world can we do? How can we change things? And we get frustrated when we don't seem to be able to make any changes. And yet, Lord, you call us to the thing that can help the most, and that is prayer. Lord, would you inspire us to pray for those in authority, for those in government, in the government in our land and in other lands? Would you give us the inspiration to trust you and look to you to change the hearts and minds of those who are over us? We ask, Lord, that you would not only inspire us to pray regularly, but also that you would inspire many more Christians to join together in prayer for the evils that we see around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.